And so we're just going to think about that this morning a little bit. You know, the fear that's going on in our culture and around us. People are afraid. We're not to be afraid. But what keeps us from being afraid? What keeps us from being fearful? What stops us from joining with ranks of people who are panicking and buying up all the toilet paper and sanitizer products and hoarding these things? What's gonna get us through, and what's gonna give us peace that will be very obvious to everyone? Well, we know that knowing our God will give us peace. That's gonna knowing our God, knowing His attributes, okay, knowing who He is, knowing He's holy and all-powerful, He does not change, He's all-knowing, faithful, He is love. But I believe that what should really give us peace and keep our minds, you know, seeking Him and not going crazy right now. What will really help us with that is having the truth that God is sovereign being firm and foundational in our hearts and in our minds. God is sovereign. Our God rules over all of His creation. All right? He created it all. He owns it all. He rules it all. In Isaiah chapter 6, it starts out, King Uzziah died. That was a good king. He reigned 52 years. And the people were devastated. Oh no, what are we going to do? This good king just died. What's going to happen now? And so then Isaiah was given this vision of God on the throne to take back to the people. Look, your God is the one who's in charge. Your God is the one on the throne. So don't be afraid. Don't worry. Look to your God. He rules over everything. He even rules over the rulers of the nations. He's the one that establishes the rulers. From Isaiah 40:23, He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. He puts them there, He takes them away. And our God rules over the coronavirus. This is not out of His control. But when we think about the deaths and the suffering and just the, well, crippling the markets and the global market and the financial market and shutting down businesses and all these things, we think, well, how can we accept that God's in control of this? But truth is that that's what the Bible teaches. Okay? The Bible teaches that God is sovereign. God is the sovereign Lord of creation. Stuart Scott defined sovereignty this way. Sovereignty is the sum total of the attributes of God that allow Him to rule over and control all things with absolute perfection. Because God is completely sovereign, His decrees are always accomplished. What God decrees, what He says, what He wills, it is always accomplished without question. And there's no one to stop Him. This means that whatever happens is what He wills. Even sin is a part of this plan. He allows sin to happen. We know that God is not the author of sin, and we see that in many places in Scripture, including James chapter 1. But He perfectly and wisely chooses to withhold His restraining influence over sinful hearts and situations when He can use it to accomplish His good and perfect purposes. So even right now, the Lord is using this virus in America, in Italy, in China. He's using it. He's got a perfect plan and something that He's working out in this. God is so powerful and so complex that He can cause or prevent whatever His perfect plan prescribes for every person, any given day, hour, or minute. This means that whatever God allows in your life is for a specific purpose. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." And so in this time, right now, when all these unexpected things are happening, and some of us have 3 weeks off right now, unexpectedly, and maybe more. There's churches in Riverside right now that, by law, are not allowed to meet. And so they're all sitting at home and watching the church service online right now. That's unexpected. But our ultimate confidence is in God, and can only be in God. Now, there are other structures that we depend on here on this earth. Our government, the CDC, and all these, even the private sector that's coming together right now to help and to aid. But we can get our confidence in those structures out of proportion biblically. We can put too much confidence in the president, in the Center for Disease Control, in our government. We can't do that. Our confidence is in the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. We get our confidence from Him. And we do not want to sow paranoia or despair. And there's no ground for either. But with all that's happening, it's a humbling reminder for us, right? This is a reminder for us that our confidence is ultimately in God and can only be in God. We cannot have ultimate confidence in any earthly thing, not in any human structure, or even in human beings, or in a freezer that's packed full of food, or in a well that pumps out good water, and a generator. Our confidence are not in those things. Our confidence are in the Lord. And God's sovereignty is what we need to be confident in. God's sovereignty is our confidence. This is a passage that I've memorized, Pastor Bob, that has seen me through several struggles over the months, but has helped me this last week. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. Memorize and meditate on this passage. "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The God of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O peoples. Pour out your hearts before Him. For our God is a refuge for us. Or another one. When I start to fear, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. And God, whose word I praise, and God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? And that's Psalm 56, 3 and 4. Those have helped me tremendously, Pastor Bob. Philippians 2 has helped tremendously. But God's sovereignty is our confidence. And these are some things we know about God's sovereignty. His rule over all things, over all creation. God provides all good things in the world. He is the provider of all good gifts and all that we need. We should bless the Lord every day of our lives because that is true. Let's turn to Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103. This is true today, and it's true if this continued roll of unexpected days continues until it's just something, things going on totally different than we would have ever expected. This is still true. Amen. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Amen. Who pardons all your iniquities. We're set right there. We've got everything we need right there. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. According to James, there's not a single benefit, not a single good thing we have in our lives that did not come from our gracious Heavenly Father. And we see this in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's God's sovereignty in action right there. Those who have trusted in Christ receive these benefits from the Father in a special way. All that the Father gives us, He gives to us through what Christ has done. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And if we doubt that God gives us good gifts, we just have to remember our Lord and Savior. And we can remember Romans 8, verses 31 and 32. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? If our Heavenly Father has given the greatest, most priceless gift possible to us already, and that's His Son, and that's the salvation that He's given us, the payment of sin, the imputation of His righteousness on us, if God has already given us that, how will He not give us all that we need? Then this same God can be trusted to give you and me everything else that will be good for us to have. And the most important response that we should have to our gracious God, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, is this. We should feel and offer deep and constant thanks to God. Amen. We should feel and offer deep and constant thanks to God. And this is true for our whole Christian life. No matter what circumstance or situation or trial or persecution. But think about it. What powerful testimony that will be to Anza Valley. If this becomes more dangerous, and even now, for God's people to go around with an attitude of gratitude, right? Thankful, at peace, being concerned for others' interests, saying, I only got 2 bottles of sanitizer here, which I guess doesn't really work anyway. It's just a placebo. But here, take this one because I've got one. You know? Have this attitude, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Do not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Amen. Confident that our sovereign God is in control, and He will provide for all of our needs. That would be a very powerful testimony. And we have that opportunity right now. And we have the opportunity to share the gospel right now. Because God is sovereign, we can be bold and confident. He is in charge. He rules over all His creation. He provides all good gifts in the world. And God also controls all bad things in the world. It's natural and easy to believe that God gives all good gifts. It's not natural to believe that God controls all bad things in the world. It's harder to believe that. Hard to believe that God is just as much in control of the bad things that happen in the world as He is of the good things. But that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is in control of both good and bad things that happen in life. And before entering the promised land, Moses speaks to the people in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, he tells the children of Israel, "See now that I, even I," this is the Lord speaking, "am He. And there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand." And so we see there, the one true God is responsible not only for making alive, but also for killing. Not only for healing, but also for wounding. We were going to have a child dedication today. We postponed it, but we were going to look at Hannah. We were going to study Hannah and how the Lord was faithful and poured out His blessings on Hannah to give her a son when she was barren. And after she had her son, she prayed. And in her prayer of thanksgiving, she says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, she says, "The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He exalts." Thank you, Lord, that He's exalted us. Brother Steve. Hannah states that God is in control not only of positive and good things like giving life, raising up, giving riches, and exalting people. God also is in control of things like killing, taking people to the grave, making people poor, and bringing people low. This is Scripture. This is the Bible. In other words, the whole of life, both its good things and its bad things, are all in the control of God. And this should make us confident. We should be confident in His sovereignty. Just one more passage. A small section here of Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7. God speaking, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. Some people refuse to accept this teaching from the Bible. Refuse to accept this because they cannot understand how God could control bad things and not be blamed for that bad. But the Bible states that God controls both good and bad. So we ought to accept this as true, even though we may not be able to understand fully just how it can be true. We should not turn away from the teaching of the Bible because it is hard to understand. This teaching of the sovereignty of God is one of the hardest areas for us to understand. It is. That is a hard area to understand. In fact, as with some areas of our faith, we just have to accept the teaching of the Bible, even though we cannot perfect or understand the sense of it. Make perfect sense of it. But the Bible says it, so we have to accept it. If God says that He has complete control over light and over darkness, over well-being and over calamity, we have no right to say that that cannot be. We must let God speak for Himself, since He alone knows everything exactly and correctly. God is sovereign over all things good and all things bad. God said so, and that should settle it. And God's sovereignty is our confidence. And it is only because God has complete control over all bad things that we can be sure that those bad things work to bring about some good purpose that God has. If God is not in control of bad things, then we would be led to deep sadness, thinking that this coronavirus, for example, that is happening will serve no good purpose. But that's wrong. That's not so. Even though we can't see God's plan and purpose right now, the day will come when we see and we recognize His good plan. When bad things happen, we can know then that God is using them for good purposes. And that should bring us a whole lot of comfort and peace. Since God always does what is best, and God's purposes can never fail. Romans 8:28 says, we know it, if you don't memorize it, because this is a banner that should be over our heads constantly. And we know that all good, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. But the problem is, we are short-sighted. We don't see God's plans. We don't see what He's working out. We don't know. We can only see what's happening around us right now. We don't see the good that comes from God's plans until it comes to fruition. And of course, we see even now in our day, in biographies from Christians from the past, Christians whose lives are full of pain and suffering. And we ask why. And the answer is because God is working out something good. He's working good out of them. And God is producing fruit and good works that will come eventually. And they might even come generations later. But we have to look at this and realize that this is a truth. God's sovereignty being our confidence is a truth that needs to be deep in our hearts and our minds. But it's not always the answer that you give to someone who is suffering. All right? This is not the go-to answer for Daniel Bett's friend Matt right now. Matt just lost his wife, Jenny, who he's known since kindergarten, who was his high school sweetheart, and he says, I don't know life without her. And so we weep with those who weep. But we keep this foundational in our hearts so that we don't despair when we see situations like that, or when we go through situations like that. Or when we go through what we're going through right now. Whether it's media hype and scare, or this turns into something real serious. Which we hope it doesn't. We pray it doesn't. So, God's sovereignty gives us confidence. We don't know yet what the Lord is working out with this virus, but He's working something out. And we have an opportunity right now that we did not have before. To be lights, to be witnesses, and to share Christ with our community. So we need to pray that the Lord would give us wisdom. And when we ask the Lord, give me wisdom what to do in this situation right now, we're not going to wait for an angel to appear to tell us. We're not going to wait for the Lord to whisper in our ear in a still small voice, hey Matt, go do this. This is the right thing to do. We know what God is going to have us do because He tells us in His Word what we are to do. His instructions for what to do are right here in front of us. And so we know the instructions well. That if someone is hungry or thirsty, you give them a drink. And so for doing, you fulfill the law of Christ. And it is as if you are giving it to Him. We are to love each other right now and care for each other in such a way that the Anza sees that we are Jesus' disciples. We're going to care for each other. We're going to find out the needs that we each have. We're going to call Ken and ask Ken, hey, let us bring some groceries to you so you and Cynthia can stay home right now. What else are we going to do? What else can we do? Pray. Comfort those who are in fear. You know, I love it. We went down to Palm Springs yesterday because we didn't want to go to Temecula because we got all these calls that every store has lines all wrapped around them. So, okay, let's try the desert. We got down there. Costco had lines wrapped all around it. All the way around Costco. In fact, it went all the way around Costco and then off into a parking lot so that it didn't go twice around Costco. But then we went across the street to Sam's Club, and there was like no one in there. I don't know what people think they have to shop at Costco, I guess. But you know, honestly, the worst complaining I heard yesterday, the most upset person I heard was the shelf stocker, the bread guy. Because all the bread shelves were empty, and he's just like, under his breath, like, oh, people, I don't understand it. You know, he's there putting bread back on the shelf, and people are grabbing it. He's just all bitter that he's got all this work to do putting bread on the shelf. You know, that's the most disgruntled person I saw yesterday. But I was just blessed by my wife. You know, we didn't know how serious or how bad it was going to be, but Julie's like, here, I'm going to bring this extra charger for our phones. And then if someone in line needs to charge their phone, they can use ours. Here, I'm going to bring all these little cutie oranges. And then if someone in line feels faint or you know, maybe they just need a little sugar, I can give them an orange. Or let's bring these extra water bottles, you know. I'm like, wow, Julie. She's all, I've been through this before, all right. In Cambodia, this stuff happens all the time. You know, there's mobs. People just, they go psycho. So, but anyway, I was just so blessed, you know, by her heart and, you know, her thinking of those things. But those are just, you know, all ways that the Word will instruct us what to do right now. And then, as we minister to those who are in fear, and they see our peace, and why are you not afraid? It's because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Jesus is Lord. He is the Sovereign Lord. Let me tell you about Him. So let's take advantage of this opportunity that we have to share and to minister to each other.
All right, I've asked John to go ahead and
close us in prayer. Thank you for coming and being here today. We love you. John, if you could close us.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're in charge of all things. You control everything and you do everything. And Father, the blessings that we've had in the past, and Father, we look back and see that you are God and you do things, Father, that's great. And Father, you do things to us and make us grow closer. Father, we love you. We thank you for all things. Father, we pray that you'll go with us as we leave. Father, go with us as we do our daily routine and, Father, the things that we must do. Father, we're counting on you and we're praying that you guide us and direct us. And, Father, and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.